Starless Night, Chapter 2, Farewell Riddles. Bleary-eyed after yet another long, restless night, Catterby pulled on a robe and crossed her small room, hoping to find comfort in the daylight. Her thick auburn hair had been flattened on one side of her head, forcing an angled cowlick on the other side, but she didn't care. Busy rubbing the sleep from her eyes, she nearly stumbled over the threshold and paused there, struck suddenly by something she did not understand. She ran her fingers over the wood of the door and stood confused, nearly overwhelmed, by the same feeling she'd felt the night before, that something was out of place, that something was wrong. She had intended to go straight to breakfast, but felt compelled to get Drizzt instead. The young woman shuffled swiftly down the corridor to Drizzt's room and knocked on the door. After a few moments, she called, "Drizzt?" When the drow didn't answer, she gingerly turned the handle and pushed the door open. Catterby noticed immediately that Drizzt's scimitars and traveling cloak were gone. But before she could think about that, her eyes focused on the bed. It was made, covers tucked neatly, though that was not unusual for the dark elf. Catterby slipped over to the bed and inspected the folds. They were neat, but not tight, and she understood that this bed had been made a long while ago, that this bed had not been slept in the previous night. "What's all this?" the young woman asked. She took a quick look around the small room, then made her way back out into the hall. Drizzt had gone out from Mithril Hall without warning before, and often he left at night. He usually journeyed to Silvery Moon, the fabulous city a 10 days' march to the east. Why, this time, did Catterby feel that something was amiss? Why did this not-so-unusual scene strike Catterby as very out of place? The young woman tried to shrug it away, to overrule her heartfelt fears. She was just worried, she told herself. She had lost Wulfgar, and now felt overprotective of her other friends. Catterby walked as she thought it over, and soon paused at another door. She tapped lightly, then, with no response forthcoming, though she was certain that this one was not yet up and about, she banged harder. A groan came from inside the room. Catterby pushed the door open and crossed the room, sliding to kneel beside the tiny bed and roughly pulling the bed covers down from sleeping Regis, tickling his armpits as he began to squirm.
"Hey!"
The plump halfling, recovered from his trials at the hands of assassin Artemis and Treri, cried out. He came awake immediately and grabbed at the covers desperately.
"Where's Drizzt?"
Catterby asked, tugging the covers away more forcefully.
"How would I know?"
Regis protested.
"I've not been out of my room yet this morning. Get up!"
Catterby was surprised by the sharpness of her own voice, by the intensity of her command. The uncomfortable feeling tugged at her again more forcefully. She looked around the room, trying to discern what had triggered her sudden anxiety. She saw the panther figurine. Catterby's unblinking stare locked on the object, Drizzt's dearest possession. What was it doing in Regis's room? She wondered. Why had Drizzt left without it? Now the young woman's logic began to fall into agreement with her emotions. She skipped across the bed, buried Regis in a jumble of covers, which he promptly pulled tight around his shoulders, and retrieved the panther. She then hopped back and tugged again at the stubborn halfling's blanket shell.
"No!"
Regis argued, yanking back. He dived face down to his mattress, pulling the ends of the pillow up around his dimpled face. Catterby grabbed him by the scruff of the neck, yanked him from the bed, and dragged him across the room to seat him in one of the two wooden chairs resting at the opposite sides of a small table. Pillow still in hand, still tight against his face, Regis plopped his head straight down on the table. Catterby took a firm and silent hold of the end of the pillow, quietly stood, then yanked it suddenly, tearing it from the surprised halfling's grasp so that his head knocked hard against the bare wood. Groaning and grumbling, Regis sat straight in the chair and ran stubby fingers through his fluffy and curly brown locks, their bounce undiminished by a long night's sleep.
"What?"
he demanded. Catterby slammed the panther figurine atop the table, leaving it before the seated halfling.
"Where's Drizzt?"
she asked again evenly.
"Probably in the Undercity,"
Regis grumbled, running his tongue all about his cotton-feeling teeth.
"Why don't you go to ask Brunner?"
The mention of the Dwarvish King set Catterby back on her heels. "Go ask Brunner," she silently scoffed. Brunner would hardly speak to anyone. and was so immersed in despair that he probably wouldn't know it if his entire clan up and left in the middle of the night.
"So Drizzt left Gwenhiver," Regis remarked, thinking to downplay the whole thing.
His words fell awkwardly on the perceptive woman's ears, though, and Catterby's deep blue eyes narrowed as she studied the halfling more closely.
"What?"
Regis asked innocently again, feeling the heat of the unrelenting scrutiny.
"Where is Drizzt?"
Catterby asked, her tone dangerously calm.
"And why do you have the cat?"
Regis shook his head and wailed helplessly, dramatically dropping his forehead again against the table. Catterby saw the act for what it was. She knew Regis too well to be taken in by his wily charms. She grabbed a handful of curly brown hair and tugged his head upright, then grabbed the front of his nightshirt with her other hand. Her roughness startled the halfling. She could see that clearly by his expression, but she did not relent. Regis flew from his seat. Catterby carried him 3 quick steps, then slammed his back against the wall. Catterby's scowling visage softened for just a moment, and her free hand fumbled with the halfling's nightshirt long enough that she could determine that Regis was not wearing his magical ruby pendant, an item she knew he never removed. Another curious, and certainly out of place, fact that assailed her sensibilities fed her growing belief that something indeed was terribly wrong.
"Sure, and there's something going on here that's not what it's supposed to be,"
Catterby said, her scowl returning tenfold.
"Catterby,"
Regis replied, looking down to his furry-topped feet, dangling 20 inches from the floor.
"And you know something about it,"
Catterby went on.
"Catterby,"
Regis wailed again, trying to bring the fiery young woman to her senses. Catterby took up the halfling's nightshirt in both her hands, pulled him away from the wall, and slammed him back again hard.
"I've lost Wulfgar,"
she said grimly, pointedly reminding Regis that he might not be dealing with someone rational. Regis didn't know what to think. Brunner Battlehammer's daughter had always been the level-headed one of the troop, the calm influence that kept the others in line. Even cool Drizzt had often used Catterby as a guidepost to his conscience. But now, Regis saw the promise of pain set within the depths of Catterby's deep blue, angry eyes. She pulled him from the wall once more and slammed him back.
"You're going to tell me what you know,"
she said evenly. The back of Regis's head throbbed from the banging. He was scared, very scared, as much for Catterby as for himself. Had her grief brought her to this point of desperation? And why was he suddenly caught in the middle of all this? All that Regis wanted out of life was a warm bed and a warmer meal.
"We should go and sit down with Bru," he began.
But he was summarily interrupted as Catterby slapped him across the face. He brought his hand up to the stinging cheek, felt the angry welt rising there. He never blinked, eyeing the young woman with disbelief. Catterby's violent reaction had apparently surprised her as much as Regis. The halfling saw tears welling in her gentle eyes. She trembled, and Regis honestly didn't know what she might do. The halfling considered his situation for a long moment, coming to wonder what difference a few days or 10 days could make.
"Drizzt went home,"
the halfling said softly, always willing to do as the situation demanded. Worrying about consequences could come later. Catterby relaxed somewhat.
"This is his home," she reasoned. "Sure, and you don't mean Icewind Dale."
"Menzoberranzan,"
Regis corrected. If Catterby had taken a crossbow quarrel in her back, it would not have hit her harder than that single word. She let Regis down to the floor and tumbled backward, falling into a sitting position on the edge of the halfling's bed.
"He really left Gwenhiver for you," Regis explained. "He cares for both you and the cat so very much."
His soothing words did not shake the horrified expression from Catterby's face. Regis wished he had his ruby pendant, so that he might use its undeniable charms to calm the young woman.
"You can't tell, Brunner," Regis added. "Besides, Drizzt might not even go that far."
The halfling thought an embellishment of the truth might go a long way. "He said he was off to see Elustriel, to try to decide where his course should lead." It wasn't exactly true. Drizzt had only mentioned that he might stop by Silver Moon to see if he might confirm his fears, but Regis decided that Catterby needed to be given some hope.
You can't tell Bruner,
the halfling said again, more forcefully. Catterby looked up at him. Her expression was truly one of the most pitiful sights Regis had ever seen.
He'll be back,
Regis said to her, rushing over to sit beside her.
You know Drizzt. He'll be back.
It was too much for Catterby to digest. She gently pulled Regis's hand off her arm and rose. She looked to the panther figurine once more, sitting upon the small table, but she had not the strength to retrieve it. Catterby padded silently out of the room, back to her own chambers, where she fell listlessly upon her bed. Drizzt spent midday sleeping in the cool shadows of a cave many miles from Mithril Hall's eastern door. The early summer air was warm, the breeze off the cold glaciers of the mountains carrying little weight against the powerful rays of the sun in a cloudless summer sky. The drow did not sleep long or well. His rest was filled with thoughts of Wulfgar, of all his friends, and of distant images, memories of that awful place, Menzoberranzan. Awful and beautiful, like the drow elves who had sculpted it. Drizzt moved to his shallow cave's entrance to take his meal. He basked in the warmth of the bright afternoon, in the sounds of the many animals. How different from this was his Underdark home! How wonderful! Drizzt threw his dried basket into the dirt and punched the floor beside him. How wonderful indeed was this false hope that he'd been dangling before his desperate eyes. All that he had wanted in life was to escape the ways of his kin, to live in peace. Then he'd come to the surface, and soon after had decided that this place of buzzing bees and chirping birds, of warm sunlight and alluring moonlight, should be his home, not the eternal darkness of those tunnels far below. Drizzt Du'Ardan had chosen the surface, but what did that choice mean? It meant that he would come to know dear friends, and by his mere presence, trap them into his dark legacy. It meant that Wulfgar would die by the summons of Drizzt's own sister, and that all of Mithril Hall might soon be in peril. It meant that his choice was a false one, that he could not stay. The disciplined drow calmed quickly and took out some more food, forcing it past the angry lump in his throat. He considered his course as he ate. The road before him would lead him out of the mountains and past a village called Pengallan. Drizzt had been there recently, and he did not wish to return. He would not follow the road at all, he decided at length. What purpose would going to Silvery Moon serve? Drizzt doubted that Lady Illustrio would be there, with the trading season open in full. Even if she was, what could she tell him that he did not already know? No. Drizzt had already determined his ultimate course, and he did not need Illustrial to confirm it. He gathered his belongings and sighed as he considered again how empty the road seemed without his dear panther companion. He walked out into the bright day, straight toward the east, off the southeastern road. Her stomach did not complain that breakfast and lunch had passed, and she still lay motionless on her bed, caught in a web of despair. She had lost Wulfgar barely days before their planned wedding, and now Drizzt, whom she loved as much as she had the barbarian, was gone as well. It seemed as though her entire world had crumbled around her. A foundation that had been built of stone shifted like sand on the blowing wind. Catterby had been a fighter all of her young life. She didn't remember her mother and barely recalled her father, who had been killed in a goblin raid in Ten Towns when she was very young. Brunner Battlehammer had taken her in and raised her as his own daughter, and Catterby had found a fine life among the dwarves of Brunner's clan. Except for Brunner, though, the dwarves had been friends, not family. Catterby had forged a new family one at a time. First Brunner, then Drizzt, then Regis, and finally Wulfgar. Now Wulfgar was dead, and Drizzt gone, back to his wicked homeland with, by Catterby's estimation, little chance of returning. Catterby felt so helpless about it all. She had watched Wulfgar die, watched him chop a ceiling down onto his own head so that she might escape the clutches of the monstrous Yawclaw. She had tried to help, but had failed, and in the end, all that remained was a pile of rubble and Aegis Fang. In the 10 days since, Catterby had teetered on the edge of control, trying futilely to deny the paralyzing grief. She'd cried often, but always had managed to check it after the first few sobs with a deep breath and sheer willpower. The only one she could talk to had been Drizzt. Now, Drizzt was gone. And now, too, Catterby did cry, a flood of tears, sobs racking her deceptively delicate frame. She wanted Wulfgar back. She protested to whatever gods might be listening that he was too young to be taken from her, with too many great deeds ahead of him. Her sobs became intense growls, fierce denial. Pillows flew across the room, and Catterby grabbed the blankets into a pile and heaved them as well. Then she overturned her bed just for the pleasure of hearing its wooden frame crack against the hardwood floor. "No!" the word came from deep inside, from the young fighter's belly. The loss of Wulfgar wasn't fair, but there was nothing Catterby could do about that. Drizzt leaving wasn't fair, not in Catterby's wounded mind, but there was nothing. The thought hung in Catterby's mind. Still trembling, but now under control, she stood beside the overturned bed. She understood why the drow had left secretly, why Drizzt had, as was typical, taken the whole burden on himself. "No," the young woman said again. She stripped off her nightclothes, grabbed a blanket to towel the sweat from her, then donned breeches and chemise. Catterby did not hesitate to consider her actions, fearful that if she thought about things rationally, she might change her mind. She quickly slipped on a chain-link coat of supple and thin mithril armor, so finely crafted by the dwarves that it was barely detectable after she donned her sleeveless tunic. Still moving frantically, Catterby pulled on her boots, grabbed her cloak and leather gloves, and rushed across the room to her closet. There she found her sword belt, quiver, and Tolmaril, the Heatseeker, her enchanted bow. She ran, didn't walk, from her room to the halflings and banged on the door only once before bursting in. Regis was in bed again. Big surprise. His belly full from a breakfast that had been continued uninterrupted right into lunch. He was awake, though, and none too happy to see Catterby charging at him once more. She pulled him into a sitting position, and he regarded her curiously. Lines from tears streaked her cheeks, and her splendid blue eyes were edged by angry red veins. Regis had lived most of his life as a thief, had survived by understanding people, and it wasn't hard for him to figure out the reasons behind the young woman's sudden fire. "Where'd you put the panther?" Catterby demanded. Regis stared at her for a long moment. Catterby gave him a rough shake. "Tell me quick," she demanded. "I've lost too much time already." "For what?" Regis asked, though he knew the answer. "Just give me the cat," Catterby said. Regis unconsciously glanced toward his bureau, and Catterby rushed to it, then tore it open and laid waste to the drawers one by one. "Drizzt won't like this," Regis said calmly. "To the Nine Hells with him, then," Catterby shot back. She found the figurine and held it before her eyes, marveling at its beautiful form. "You think Gwenhiver will lead you to him?" Regis stated, more than asked. Catterby dropped the figurine into a bell pouch and did not bother to reply. "Suppose you do catch up with him," Regis went on as the young woman headed for the door. "How much will you aid Drizzt in a city of drow? A human woman might stand out a bit down there, don't you think?" The halfling's sarcasm stopped Catterby, made her consider for the first time what she meant to do. How true was Regis's reasoning? How could she get into Mensa Boronzen? And even if she did, how could she even see the floor ahead of her? "No!" Catterby shouted at length, her logic blown away by that welling, helpless feeling. "I'm going to him anyway. I'll not stand by and wait to learn that another of me friends has been killed." "Trust him," Regis pleaded, and, for the first time, the halfling began to think that maybe he would not be able to stop the impetuous Catterby. Catterby shook her head and started for the door again. "Wait!" Regis called, begged, and the young woman pivoted about to regard him. Regis hung in a precarious position. It seemed to him that he should run out shouting for Brunner or for General Dagna or for any of the other dwarves, enlisting allies to hold back Catterby, physically if need be. She was crazy. Her decision to run off after Drizzt made no sense at all. But Regis understood her desire, and he sympathized with her with all his heart. "If it was meself who left,"
Caterbury began.
And Drizzt, who wanted to follow...
Regis nodded in agreement. If Caterbury or any of them had gone into apparent peril, Drizzt Do'Urden would have taken up the chase and taken up the fight, no matter the odds. Drizzt, Wulfgar, Caterbury, and Brunner had gone more than halfway across the continent in search of Regis when Intreri had abducted him. Regis had known Caterbury since she was just a child, and had always held her in the highest regard, but never had been more proud of her than at this very moment.
"A human will be a detriment to Drizzt and Mensa Barunson," he said again. "I care not," Caterbury said under her breath.
She did not understand where Regis's words were leading. Regis hopped off his bed and rushed across the room. Caterbury braced, thinking he meant to tackle her, but ran past to his desk and pulled open one of its lower drawers.
"So, don't be a human,"
the halfling proclaimed, and he tossed the magical mask to Caterbury. Caterbury caught it and stood staring at it in surprise as Regis ran back past her to his bed. Intreri had used the mask to get into Mithril Hall, had, through its magic, so perfectly disguised himself as Regis that the halfling's friends, even Drizzt, had been taken in.
"Drizzt really is making for Silvery Moon," Regis told her.
Caterbury was surprised, thinking that the drow would have simply gone into the Underdark through the lower chambers of Mithril Hall. When she thought about it, though, she realized that Brunner had placed many guards at these chambers with orders to keep the doors closed and locked.
"One more thing," Regis said.
Caterbury looped the mask on her belt and turned to the bed to see Regis standing on the shifted mattress, holding a brilliantly jeweled dagger in his hands.
"I won't need this," Regis explained. "Not here, with Brunner and his thousands beside me."
He held out the weapon, but Caterbury did not immediately take it. She had seen the dagger, Artemis and Treri's dagger, before. The assassin had once pressed it against her neck, stealing her courage, making her feel more helpless, more a little girl, than at any other time in her life. Caterbury wasn't sure that she could take it from Regis, wasn't sure that she could bear to carry such a thing.
"And Treri is dead,"
Regis assured her, not quite understanding her hesitation. Caterbury nodded absently, though her thoughts remained filled with memories of being Entreri's captive. She remembered the man's earthy smell and equated that smell now to the aroma of pure evil. She had been so powerless, like the moment when the ceiling fell in on Wulfgar. Powerless now, she wondered, when Drizzt might need her. Caterbury firmed her jaw and took the dagger. She clutched it tightly, then slid it into her belt.
"You mustn't tell Brunner," she said.
"He'll know," Regis argued. "I might be able to turn aside his curiosity about Drizzt's departure. Drizzt is always leaving, but Brunner will soon realize that you are gone." Caterbury had no argument for that, but again, she didn't care. She had to get to Drizzt. This was her quest, her way of taking back control of a life that had quickly been turned upside down. She rushed to the bed, wrapped Regis in a big hug, and kissed him hard on the cheek.
"Farewell, me friend,"
she cried, dropping him to the mattress.
"Farewell."
Then she was gone, and Regis sat there, his chin in his plump hands. So many things had changed in the last day. First Drizzt, and now Caterbury. With Wulfgar gone, that left only Regis and Brunner of the five friends remaining in Mithril Hall.
"Brunner!"
Regis rolled to his side and groaned. He buried his face in his hands at the thought of the mighty dwarf. If Brunner ever learned that Regis had aided Caterbury on her dangerous way, he would rip the halfling apart. Regis couldn't begin to think of how he might tell the Dwarven King. Suddenly, he regretted his decision, felt stupid for letting his emotions, his sympathies, get in the way of good judgment. He understood Caterbury's need and felt that it was right for her to go after Drizzt, if that was what she truly desired to do. She was a grown woman, after all, and a fine warrior. But Brunner wouldn't understand. Neither would Drizzt, the halfling realized, and he groaned again. He had broken his word to the drow, had told the secret on the very first day, and his mistake had sent Caterbury running into danger.
"Drizzt will kill me," he wailed.
Caterbury's head came back around the door jamb, her smile wider, more full of life than Regis had seen it in a long, long time. Suddenly, she seemed the spirited lass that he and the others had come to love. the spirited young woman who had been lost to the world when the ceiling had fallen on Wulfgar. Even the redness had flown from her eyes, replaced by a joyful inner sparkle.
"Just you hope that Drizzt comes back to kill you,"
Catterby chirped, and she blew the halfling a kiss and rushed away.
"Wait,"
Regis called half-heartedly. Regis was just as glad that Catterby didn't stop. He still thought himself irrational, even stupid, and still knew that he would have to answer to both Brunner and Drizzt for his actions. But that last smile of Catterby's, her spark of life so obviously returned, had settled the argument.